I recently had a client who is an accountant. The person struggled to let go of their analytical questioning mindset and to simply engage their imagination as part of the induction process. I've worked with clients like this. Yeah. It was kind of like a case of the person asking themselves, am I in hypnosis yet? I tackled this by getting the person to do progressive muscle relaxation. How would you recommend guiding the more logical, analytical person, sorry, the more analytical type of person into hypnosis?
Well, I don't want to sort of pigeonhole accountants. I'm sure there's a Monty Python sketch about accountants. Some accountants are extremely creative and right-brained. But anyway, this certainly can be a problem. If somebody has an incredibly analytical mind, we've tended to deify the analytical mind in Western culture. If you sharpen a pencil too much, then pretty soon you can't really use it for much, other than stabbing. The analytical mind is a part of the mind, which is a tool. Analysis is a tool, isn't it? But it's not everything. If you're analyzing a sunset, instead of just enjoying it and being in the moment, then that's the time for the analytical mind to take a back seat, And I think when dealing with an over analytical person, we can perhaps address it directly. We can talk in terms of, the fact that there is such a thing perhaps as being over analytical, because if somebody is that way inclined, then they may realize they can be like that a bit. They may have insight, or they might sort of feel that you can't possibly have too much of a good thing, and being a bit analytical sometimes in some contexts is good, so therefore always being analytical must be better. So we could perhaps point out that that's perhaps not always the case. And there may be times for using a particular tool, picking up a tool and maybe putting it down again sometimes. But also we can encourage the over-analysis. And that's certainly something I've done. So you might say, if someone's very analytical and you're inducing hypnosis, you might address that. You might say, now you have a left brain. You have a left hemisphere in your brain, an analytical part of your mind, which could count and collate every second of this session. It could notice every pause that I make, and it could log every word and assess and even count each of my words. It could attempt to ascertain every possible meaning and even the origin of each word. Perhaps we could do that. The root of each word that I use and every word I use, and also speculate why I may have chosen the words I did in favor of other words that I might possibly have used in other words instead. And you might wonder in your mind right now why I'm using these words instead of those other words. And you can try to be aware of every breath and be aware, if you can, of every physical process in your body, bearing in mind that you've got 5 sense receptors and they take in an estimated 11 million pieces of information a second, whereas you can only consciously process about 40 bits of information a second. And you'll be able to calculate that this means a large part of your experience is unavoidably unconscious. And that's really what I'm interested in. And there have been times when you've forgotten to weigh up everything and focus consciously and analyze, would have just gone with the experience and learned without even knowing that you're learning. And such times is when you've been dreaming at night or caught a ball in the air without having to think about it. And your analytical brain is a wonderful tool, but any tool can be put away sometimes in favor of something else. And you might well find you can learn really fast how to go into a beautiful hypnotic trance. But you are welcome, as I say, to analyze every single tiny part of this experience if you really feel that you need to, like the curious young boy who dissected a live fly and found he had all the parts of the fly but wondered where the actual living fly had disappeared to. So, if we have a spiel like that to them, then we're kind of addressing the over-analytical propensity that they have, So I've done several things there. I've complemented and bigged up the analytical, logical mind, you know, splicing reality into little bits, you know. I've bigged up that part of the brain. I haven't sort of dismissed it, okay, and I said it's incredibly useful, but not all there is to the mind's capacity to apprehend and partake of being alive, if you like. And I've suggested he can try to analyze everything, okay, so I'm encouraging the resistance. This is what we do. We encourage the response. If, you know, being overly analytical isn't necessarily conscious resistance, but in effect, it's resistance. So we still use the principle of encouraging resistance so that we start to direct the resistance. And in the end, now to resist us, they have to stop using the old resistance method that they were employing before. So this is a fundamental principle of working with any resistance. And I framed going into hypnosis as something people can learn as well, not something that's done to you. And, you know, such people might be highly, or may pride themselves in their capacity to learn, you often find, with very analytical people. So now we're framing the experience of letting go and going into hypnosis as a way of learning, which of course it is. And I've described the shortfalls of over-dissecting and over-monitoring every part of life too minutely, and also highlighted the impossibility of doing that as well. And I've used the metaphor of the boy and the fly. So when we encourage analysis, the person may actually lose interest in it. You know, if we encourage it, just as someone might encourage or lose interest in any behavior that you start encouraging now, okay? And you can really try, you know, so we can say, you know, you can really try to analyze, even criticize my words. It's something I sometimes say, you know, part of you can just even inwardly criticize what I'm saying. So you're giving permission to the person. You're saying, you know, a part of your mind can analyze and question and even criticize and wonder and weigh up every single word I'm saying. And that can do that. That's fine. But there's another part of your mind that I can also communicate to. So we're splitting, which is another fundamental principle of hypnotic communication. We're splitting the person. We're not saying this analytical mind has to go to sleep and butt out and not be there at all. We're saying it can do its thing. Perhaps you can do even more of that. But at the same time, there's still another part of you, okay, which is right now monitoring physical processes that you're not even aware of in your body. And it's that part that I'm going to be talking to. Your analytical mind can, if it really wants to be bothered doing that, it can analyze everything, but there's this other part, okay? And sometimes you'll be in hypnosis and you won't even know that you've been in hypnosis. You know, you can wonder about that afterwards. And sometimes I have clients who swear they weren't hypnotized, but then they find they no longer want to smoke, you know, or they no longer have a phobia. And, you know, that can happen. So we're kind of allowing for all of it, and we're covering all the bases. You know, it's actually really fun dealing with highly analytical people. And of course, they do have resources. You know, quite often I'm jealous of people's capacity to think in such a linear, sequential, ordered kind of fashion, because I'm not really like that myself. So it's not that one is better, but it, you know, it can certainly get in the way of hypnosis and therapy sometimes. And also we're distracting or giving the conscious mind something to do. We're tying it up. You know, and we can do this with confusional language as well, which shouldn't be meaningless, by the way, but confusing. So, you know, when we say, now there's a part of you which is apart from the part partaking in logical analysis, and both parts can listen, okay, as you begin to relax more fully to the way your breath can carry you into deep rest and calm. So that makes sense if you unpack it, but the conscious mind will have to work hard to unpack that. And while it's unpacking that, the unconscious mind can be responding to what I've said. So there's a difference between understanding what someone says and responding viscerally to what they say. And that's, you know, that's what we have to work with when people are highly analytical.